Our guest at the cafe this morning is longtime certified financial planner, Jim Ainsworth. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, I came across a couple of articles, thought we'd spend a minute or two talking about, and one is the old-fashioned idea about allowances, children having allowances. And the gist of this article is that there's a lot to be learned. Children learn a lot from that. I wonder how prevalent that is today with parents and children.
I don't know for sure, but just based on my client base from years ago, it's not very prevalent. It fell out of favor a few years back because people didn't want to tie the allowances to work. They wanted to say, and a lot of people talked about this. They wanted to say you're supposed to work anyway, and I'm not going to pay you for work. I did use allowances for my children. They can verify that. And I got them bank accounts so that they could, balance. I taught them to balance their checkbooks, and I think that's extremely important. It didn't go without glitches, however. We did have overdrafts occasionally and a few serious conversations, but they learned from that, I think, a whole lot. And they learned how to balance a checkbook and to manage their own money. I let them buy. After a certain point of time, I gave them enough money, basically, I could trust them to just basically buy everything they needed. I mean, other than rent, they bought their clothes. And so, okay, if they didn't have any money for clothes, I said, well, whose fault is that?
I guess the idea of saying, I don't want to establish the principle that I pay you for everything that you do in the way of chores and so forth, is that there is the expectation that as part of a family, there are certain things we do.
Yes.
And maybe even as citizens, there are certain things we do just out of a sense of service.
I didn't tie it in at all. I didn't use the allowance as a weapon. I just gave it to them every month. And then if they didn't do their chores, then there was a conversation to be had. And it was usually not a pleasant one for them, but I made them do it. I didn't take it away if they didn't do it until, that was the last resort. My first resort was a conversation, serious conversation, some kind of punishment, grounding or whatever, if you don't do your work. And I didn't have that much trouble with it. And they got their money, and I think it worked.
What age do you think is appropriate, if you're going to do this, to start them with an allowance?
Well, I think it really, when they're in junior high, maybe. My kids were latter part of junior high and got into high school. I don't think it hurts anything. I'm not sure that a kid in elementary school is going to learn much from it. And he may get obsessed with money. That's just my opinion. I haven't experimented with it. But I think when they get old enough, and then I gradually did it. I gave them a little allowance, and then I got them a bank account, and I gave them a little more money and said, okay, you have to buy more stuff. You're now responsible for your clothes and that kind of thing. I gave you enough money.
We're talking with longtime financial planner, certified financial planner, Jim Ainsworth. This article also says allowances may not just be for kids.
Yeah, that was a basic fundamental thing that I tried to do with clients, is instead of getting them to do a budget, which most people will not do, I just said, okay, simple. Set aside 20% of your money every month, and you can spend the rest. And I used to use an envelope system when I first got married, and I'm fine with that. The only problem with an envelope system is credit cards came along.
Now, how does that work?
Well, you just put so much money in there, and you're going to, you may have a shoe fetish. You may be a shopaholic, and a lot of people. There's usually in a couple, there's one that spends more than they should.
Yeah,
and they love to shop. They love clothes. They love whatever. And if you say, okay, that your shoes are your weakness, then you put an envelope with the cash in it for the shoes, and when it's empty, you can't buy any more shoes. So that kind of worked for me for a while, but credit cards came along, and people say, well, look, the envelope's empty, now I'm going to go to the credit card.
There's one other article. We don't have a lot of time, but I thought it was interesting also, and this is a very visual thing. We'll post this on our webpage, but all the financial advice you need fits on an index card. This was an article from Minnesota Public Radio, but it is fascinating to see that card, Jim, because it's all pretty much there, isn't it?
I think nearly everything on here is there. I had something when I was in practice with clients called the penny pincher that did a similar type thing. It's a little bit different. Of course, we didn't have 401ks at that time when I did that, but it does have some good advice. Maximize your 401k contribution. I would just say that's just plain dumb if you don't buy inexpensive, well-diversified mutual funds. And then the target date funds, you have to explain what a target date fund is. That's a target date for retirement, and they buy bonds that will mature in those years when you retire. All good. And then here's something that's interesting. I was kind of pleased to see on here. It says, never buy or sell individual securities. That was always my position, too.
Playing with fire.
You're playing with fire, and sooner or later you're going to get burned. Yeah.
Well, this is interesting because it's all handwritten, and you can see it for yourself. Go and look. But but a lot of wisdom on that one.
Yeah, there really is.
All right. Hey, Jim, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us again.
Thank you.
Jim Ainsworth, longtime certified financial planner. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.